All right. Councilman Corley, I think you had your hand up. Did you have a few questions?
I do have a few questions. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Can I ask you a question about line item 35113, holiday reimbursement?
Yes.
First of all, can you explain to me how that is defined and how we come to the figure that you've asked for, the $1,083,000?
You take the holidays that each firefighter gets, and it's given to them through the payroll on those days.
I heard you say take all the holidays that each firefighter gets, and then what?
They're paid out through payroll on a day that the holiday occurs. So it's projected. We know who's getting paid, how many people are getting paid, how many holidays we have, and it's paid out.
Okay, so each firefighter gets paid. They work on a contract where each working day is 25%, correct, of their weekly pay. So this is simply a math equation of each firefighter gets paid for 25% of their pay, whatever their salary is, and that adds up to this amount?
Correct.
It has. And the people that are working on that day simply get their regular pay, and they get, this is totally separate.
It's they get paid, it's a little confusing because there's like four people that work on the same holiday, so everyone gets the holiday pay. It's equal amongst everybody.
No, I understand. Four people work on that day, and there may be four people at different pay grades. One's getting paid, I'll just make up some numbers. One makes $200 a day, one makes $300 a day, one makes $400 a day, and the fourth one makes $500 a day. So on that day, they each get one day's pay for working on that day, and they get the same pay for the holiday that is contractually part of their package, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The next item that I want to go, and I know we've already been there, but I want to talk about the overtime.
Okay.
And if we look at the largest item, which is the overtime for Fire 2, last year, on June 1st, I believe, I recall that we had just had a school and that there were seven firefighters that were, rather than being laid off, there was a decision made to keep them on the payroll and to use them so that we would be able to reduce the overtime costs. That was my recollection of the reasoning for keeping them. Is that accurate?
Yes.
So.
But what happened? We had firefighters retire after that point.
Well, firefighters do retire throughout the year. I understand that. The seven firefighters, though, on fiscal year starts July 1st, I guess. July 1st. So on July 1st, we had seven firefighters above the regular complement of 220. Right?
No, we had 220.
Excuse me?
We had 220. We did not have the extra seven.
So we had seven people retire from the time of when the budget was set until it went into effect?
Correct. And they knew that was anticipated. The letters were already in. That's why they wanted to keep them on.
You knew that seven people were going to retire before July 1st?
Yes, they had their letters in with intent to retire. It takes a month once you put your letter in, then it goes in front of Board of Public Safety and gets approved, and then you retire. You pick a retirement date.
Okay. So that when we had the budget hearings, we knew that, or you knew that there were seven people that were retiring. That was going to take effect before when the fiscal year started, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So we did not have any extra firefighters to try to...
When the fiscal year went into place, we did not have any extra firefighters. We had a full complement of 220 firefighters.
Okay. I understand you're saying that. I'm just saying that what was said during the budget hearing was that the seven would stay on in order to be able to work on the overtime. But retirements apparently negated that option. Well, since we have not been able to reduce the firefighter overtime through hiring, how is it that as chief you can implement some changes in the way the department is run to reduce overtime?
Well, I don't think we're ever going to reduce it completely, because we're always going to have on-the-job injuries.
Sometimes I just cannot hear the words.
Okay,
you're
I'm
saying.
Sorry. We're not going to be able to reduce to get rid of it completely. We're always going to have on-the-job injuries and long-term sickness. Okay, so that's there's going to be some overtime incurred there.
Okay, just stop there. You know, there's always going to be on-the-job injuries, correct?
Correct.
I know that too. It makes sense. What I think doesn't make sense is last year and this year we have budgeted $0 for on-the-job injuries when you know as a firefighter that that is part of the life of a firefighter and a fire department, correct?
Correct.
Then how can you justify coming before the city council and having a zero down in your proposed budget for a line item that you know is going to cost money?
Because we can't appropriate money for an unknown. We don't know what that number is going to be. Finance doesn't allow us to
have you looked at the last
money in there.
Okay. Have you looked at the last 5 years budgets for on-the-job injury?
Yeah, we could okay. Definitely have a number for you.
Okay, so you have a number for the past 5 years, and you could take the average of the last 5 years so that there is something there. Because when you put a zero, you're already building a deficit into what you know is going to happen in reality, aren't you?
Councilman, if I may, the finance department, when they put the budget together, does not allow us to budget for things that are unknown. We can only budget for personnel costs that are known costs per the personnel supplement. We can't budget for something that might be an average or, is the going amount that we spend every year. So that item is never budgeted. Neither of those two lines, that or sick uniform, are ever budgeted.
How do you budget for unused sick time? How can you know that someone is not going to be sick?
That number is calculated by the personnel supplement, by the amount of people who have a full bank of sick time, and that throughout the year may incur the payout for the unused sick throughout the year.
I didn't really follow that. You're saying that these people already have this sick time?
Yeah, there's a certain amount of firefighters that are already at the maximum for their bank, and that will get paid out almost immediately in the start of the fiscal year. So we can calculate that based on the fact that if they're at their full bank and they don't take any sick time, that's what we use for that unused sick time estimation, is that haven't take any.
Does this 552 account for a number of firefighters that already have the 140 days, which is the maximum that they can carry? Is that what that figure represents?
That's correct. That would be based on the amount of firefighters that are at their maximum for their bank, based on the fact that they take no sick days during the year and they get paid out for all their sick days for the year. So that budget is based on that number. We typically come underneath budget on that one.
But it's still predicting the future, because if they have 140 sick days, and if you are putting in a number for them not taking any sick time, is that correct?
Correct. We make that assumption when we put the projection together for the budget.
So if someone has 140 days sick time and they don't take any sick time that year, that number should remain the same, correct?
Correct. If all the people that have that max, that bank maxed, don't take any sick time, it should match the budget number. But typically that's under.
Chief, have you considered approaching the overtime by changing the way that you do staffing at all?
Well, one of the conversations with the mayor the other day was he would like a way that we could train guys and then have them in reserve and then pull them back when needed and not put on extras. There's always a cost factor there of years ago we used to train so many people and lay them off. Mm-hmm. There's a cost incurred when you lay people off as far as their health care, paying unemployment for them, and whatnot. So a lot of times once we had a class, we were so close to being at that number that we took them on because we anticipated there's going to be retirements in the next couple months. But he said, I talked to you all day, he's like, maybe we can make that bigger and we'll be able to pull these cadets or recruits back and hire a full-time when there's a vacancy.
So if you have a full complement of 220 firefighters, how many firefighters retired this past year?
16. On a 10th, it'll be a total of 15.
And how about the year before, approximately? Has there been any year that you or either one of you recall that we have had retirements of less than 10 firefighters in a year?
Yes.
How many firefighters do you believe should be held in reserve so that you have firefighters that can be called to work when you need them to work?
That'd be a hard number to come up with. You know, depends where we start off.
You know, we're starting with 220. We have to hire, you're at 10, how many firefighters you have now?
105.
105?
I'm 205, I'm sorry.
Oh, 205. Okay, so you're down 15 firefighters from your full complement, correct?
Correct.
And being down 15 firefighters, you know you're going to have significant overtime costs.
Correct.
And how many people can you put through a school at one time?
Probably the maximum is 24, like we just had. It becomes unmanageable after that.
So if you had a class of 24 and you're down 15, that means that there's only 9 people available to be held in reserve and to lay them off and call them in when you need them. Is that right?
They'd be called in, they'd be called back to full duty. So we wouldn't be just calling them in on the day we need them. It's when somebody retired and they're filling up a vacancy. That was just a discussion. It was just something that, a matter of a couple of minutes we discussed. Would that be possible?
And what is the downside of doing that? You said the costs If someone comes in and goes through the training and then they are basically put on unemployment, someone retires, and then you can call them back as needed and put them on the force. How is that a downside economically for the city of Warwick taxpayer?
Well, what could happen also is if once they're laid off, they could get a job someplace else. So we could, you know, train somebody and lose them. That's a possibility. I don't know what that fixed cost is to lay somebody off.
Well,
that's something we're going to have to explore.
No, I understand that, but you just said the reason it wasn't done was because there was a cost factor, and if the cost factor has never been calculated, I don't think it is a good basis for not trying that method.
It was calculated in years past. I don't know what that number is what I'm saying. I'm talking many years ago.
Something has to be done to get the overtime down, because the taxpayers are the ones that are paying. You've budgeted $1.2 million for the next fiscal year. This year, as of June 30th, it's projected that you're going to have $1,548,000. By the end of the year, I imagine it's going to be $1.6 million. I don't know. You can probably guesstimate that a lot better than me for the next 30 days. And that's a lot of money that can be going towards other things, and there should be some way that the person running the department can work to try to find out if there's a better way of staffing to keep overtime costs down. That was my question. As the chief now, have you tried to implement anything or tried to have some sort of brainstorming session with your hierarchy or with other police chiefs in order to do that?
No, not this time.
What was the other thing? When I was calculating the overtime, I looked from May to the projected June 30th number, and I did the math, and it was $187,070 between the figures in May and the figures in projected for June. How do you come to that amount? How many firefighters, how many days out, where does that come from?
What line item, sir?
It's same line item, 35111. I'm under the fiscal year May 2018. And then I looked to the right, projected June 30th, 1.547. My math may be wrong, but
That was due to retirements during that session, that time.
But,
we had a few retirements at that time, and we don't have a full float of staff. When there's a vacancy, it incurs overtime.
Okay, since May and June 30th, how many people have retired?
I think there was six or seven firefighters.
How long is that time period? I don't know when in May this number comes from. Is it the beginning of May, end of May?
That's the beginning of May.
So this is a 60-day time period?
Correct.
So you've already had six or seven people retire, and it's in a month. The last month you've had six or seven people retire.
Correct.
So if you can have six or seven in 1 month, you don't have no idea how many people are going to retire before June 30th, I guess, right?
No, we don't.
You say they have to give you advanced notice. Are there any pending notices that people are leaving?
Yes, there are.
Were they included in the six or seven that you just mentioned?
No.
Okay, then how many? When I just asked you, do you have any idea how many are going to retire? Can you tell us how many people have put you on notice that they're going to be leaving?
17.
And how much notice do they?
They had a 30-day notice. At this point, they're waiting to see if there's a contractual agreement. So that they have an opportunity to pull their letter. They don't have to retire. But they could retire by the end of the fiscal year.
Okay. So you're down 15, and you have 17 people that have put you on notice that they may retire in the next, after 30 days expires or within the next 30 days. So that means if all of that, those 17 choose to leave, we know we're going to have 32 by June. I don't know what that means. July, August, and September is going to bring. And I guess you have no way of projecting that. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm hoping something is done so we don't have to lose them.
What can be done that is going to change the fact that 17 people have decided they want to leave the department?
They need to get a contract ratified.
Well, I don't think we have enough time to talk about
what we can
do about that tonight. We're here for the budget, but
correct. We're
looking at a department that is potentially down 32 people, and the most you can train is 24 at a time. So we're going to have a staffing shortage for, you do the schools, how often are you?
It takes 6 months to train a class.
So we have a built-in deficit for the next 12 months of knowing that we cannot staff the Warwick Fire Department at 220, correct?
Correct.
Well, then the only way to cut into the deficit is to do something with staffing, and you haven't considered any ideas of trying to do that to cut the overtime at this point.
All the staffing is contractual. So we there's no overtime occurred for any other reason than contractual obligations.
Have you ever done an analysis of the sick time by station?
No.
So you don't know whether or not Station 2 has five times the sick time of Station 8?
No, I don't.
So until that kind of analysis is done, it's going to be very difficult to see whether there can be something done other than hiring our way out of this. And we can't hire our way out because we already have more people that are leaving than we can train and put on the job in the next 12 months. So the city is budgeting $1.2 million to plug a hole that the fire department is not going to be able to fill, correct?
If all those people leave.
Here's the question I want to ask. The same two, looking at the 124, the on-job injury?
Yes.
I compared the same two figures, May and June, and there's a $109,547 difference between the beginning of May and June. How is it? What is the rounded up to $110,000 difference? What does that account for?
Oh, that number is another aggressive projection. So our number is, right now we're at $203,725. And we're projecting $222,245.
I don't know if we're looking at the same thing.
You don't have these numbers. The numbers you're looking at are projected by finance, and she has mentioned before that they're aggressive numbers. We're looking at more exact numbers that we did as of today.
Okay. So what is the... Okay. As of today, what is the number?
$203,725. And the projection is $222,245.
Mine says $309,325 on line 35124 on job injuries.
That's incorrect. That's a projection by finance, and it's an aggressive number.
How many firefighters are injured that are contributing to that number?
We have three OJI injuries.
The three people that are out on job injuries of more than a certain amount of time to be classified this way?
Yes.
And how long have they been out roughly? Or if you know.
They vary. One of them has been out a year trying to rehab a knee injury. Okay.
Okay, so one's been out for a year, and the other two?
One's a new one, just went out. One's been out for a week, and one's been out about a month.
Okay, so we have the 32 people that are leaving and three that are out. And this number that's projected is the same exact number that was predicted for last year at this time. So it seems to be somewhat consistent that we know that there are going to be on-the-job injuries, even though you can't predict it. It has happened year after year. So the real deficit is 35 firefighters if you use the recent past as any trend, and it's part of the job. It's not part of the job. It is an unnecessary and unfortunate, that's the word, unfortunate part of the job that people get hurt doing the work they do.
Okay.
And that helps contribute to the problem of overtime. And while it may be an accounting method to put a zero on something that is so unpredictable, as the chief of the department, you know that it is part of your profession.
That's not a line item. So that money comes out of payroll.
On-job injury is not a line item?
So that line item is a classification for payroll, so that we can track how many people and how many dollars are paid for OJI and for sick time on the uniform side.
Okay.
The $222,000 that we project for OJI will be subtracted from the salaries line item for the pension one or the pension two. So they either get salary if they're working the normal job, or they get OJI if they're out OJI at the time.
Correct. Okay. I understand that. This dollar figure represents three firefighters that are injured. Is that correct?
It represents all of the firefighters that were classified as on-the-job injury any time during the fiscal year. It could have been a day, it could have been a week, it could have been a year.
Okay, so the three people that you just told me about, one that has been injured for more than a year and two that had been injured for a lesser unspecified time, represents three firefighters that are not available to work today, correct? Because they're hurt.
That's as of today, yes. But it was, they weren't the only ones during the fiscal year that were OJI. They get it hurt, they go to IGI for maybe a day, a week, a month, or longer, and they come back to the job and they go back to salary again. So that's the cumulative total of all the OJI payments that we've made during the year.
No, I understand that, and what I'm saying is it appears from history that there is always going to be in a fire force of this size a number of people that have job injuries that prevent them from working. If they're prevented from working, then someone has to work for them. If someone works for them, the overtime number keeps getting bigger and bigger. I am trying to see how we can get that number lower. And it appears to me that you probably need right now to run two schools of 24 to train in order to try to get a surplus of firefighters to be able to have people that you can call. If you run the risk of them getting a better job, that's a risk I'm willing to take. This is a pretty good job. They would have to, I don't know what job they're going to leave to take rather than work here. And if they find something better, God bless them. I think there will be few and far between people that are going to turn down an offer to come work. And while I am not sure we can staff our way out of this problem, and I think it has to be done through a change in, first of all, finding out where and why the sick time is happening within the department, which has not been studied. Something has to be done differently because we just can't keep affording to budget $1.2 million for something forever. It should not be a yearly line item. I'd rather have this number be zero, just as the on-job injury is zero.
Councilman, the sick time, most of that sick time comes from long-term sick. So what happens is somebody could be out, they could get injured when they're not at work, and they have to absorb their sick time. So they could be out with injuries. It's long-term. They're out long-term. They're not taking a sick day here and there. That's not the problem. They get an illness or they get an injury off duty. They're not covered by OJI. And it comes out of that sick line.
Well, there seems to be an awful lot of unused sick time that gets paid, so firefighters apparently get sick at a different rate than the average member of the population, according to the numbers you've given us.
There's 94, 95 out of 205 that receive unused sick pay. The rest of them do not have 140 days on the books.
Well, I'm glad that they're healthy, and I'm sorry that people get hurt at work. I'm sorry people get hurt anywhere.
Thank you.
I don't want to see anyone get hurt. And I'm glad that you're there when they do get hurt. That's one thing that I want to state, that I do appreciate the work that you do.
Thank you.
I appreciate the work that you do, and I'm just trying to help save some of the taxpayer money by trying to figure out how can we do this better. which is why I was asking you if you've investigated other ways of doing it. And my father told me when I was growing up something that I'll never forget is the two biggest things that stop progress is the saying, we've always done it this way, or we've never done it that way. I think we need to look at a different way to try to control these things. And it's nothing personal. It's just trying to save money for the city. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Chief, thank you for your service. I wanted to follow up on a question that Councilman Corley presented regarding overtime. I believe that when he asked regarding the composition of the overtime, you stated that it was all contractual. I do not doubt that it is all a matter of items that are under the contract. Yesterday evening, when the colonel of the Warwick Police presented, he had a breakdown of the overtime in his department, stating that 61% of the overtime, and I'm going to paraphrase, was due to being short of staff on a particular shift, 31% related to accidents, emergencies, and the like, and then 8% related to training. So I was wondering if you had any similar breakdown, or perhaps at least a ballpark in terms of a breakdown between those three categories, or if there are fewer or more categories that could help us understand where the overtime is coming from.
Yes, in my opening, Councilman, in my opening statement, I mentioned that our analysis showed that 52% of the overtime is to fill vacancies due to sick time. 21% is due to OJI, on-the-job injuries. And 4% is due to training that's reimbursed by the state or by a grant.
So let me just make sure that I...
And just to add to that, the other 24% would be to because of manpower shortage. The other 24% of that would be the manpower shortage.
Thank you. On that point, there was a discussion about how the sick time, generally speaking, it's not the day or two that a firefighter has a cold that's driving up the sick time in the budget, but more so the outside of work injuries where a firefighter is collecting that sick time that they've accrued over the years, and obviously they can't use the injured on duty time because it wasn't a matter of being injured on duty, and yet the firefighter is of course out sick, and that's beyond anyone's control. So essentially those two categories of the 52% sick and the 24% just the manpower shortage, I imagine that depending on one's point of view, some of that sick time, if it's anticipated, okay, these two or three firefighters are going to be out, we know, we expect they're going to be out for several months, that can be planned for, and to Councilman Corley's point, that could be something where if more firefighters are at the academy and we're able to anticipate and project that expectation that for that expectation that there are going to be some who are out long term sick, that's something that it essentially comes back to manpower, and it's something that is an avenue that we can look at for reducing overtime?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other council members? Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. Chief, on line item 35140, temporary services, there's an increase on that. What encumbrance temporary services?
So what's temporary services, which occurs more when we have full staff. So what happens is if let's say a battalion chief is out and a captain moves up to that rank, and we move a lieutenant up to the captain's rank, they get paid a temporary service. So it's temporary service out of rank, so they get paid at the next level.
Oh, okay, so it's not a temporary employee.
It's just temporary for the hours that he works.
Okay. And on 35335, the medical examinations, that's for like the hazardous team, right?
That's the one that I brought to bid in front of the council.
Yeah.
That we didn't use. We're going to try to use it through the healthcare, and that's why that money's still there.
Okay, so that is the same one.
That is the same one. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Is there any other questions from council members? If not, is there any questions from the public?
Good evening. My name is Ken Block. I'm a business owner here in Warwick. I have several businesses located off of Metro Boulevard. And it's my first time in front of the council. Chief, thank you and congratulations. I have a couple of different sets of questions for the chief. I thought I'd start with the most recent conversation and move backwards. Given the huge number of potential retirees, can you send individuals to another community's academy? Do you have to run them all through your own academy? You do. You have to run them all through your own? Okay. Because that might be one way you can get more staff more quickly. Another question that I have is, has the department undertaken a study where you look at the difference in call volumes, let's say, between evening and daytime hours? Because I know other communities that have had issues with overtime, and the reason you have overtime is because you have firefighters who don't work the shifts that they're scheduled to work, correct? Right? So the reason you have overtime is because a firefighter doesn't show up for a shift for whatever reason. And if we know that retirements and sick time and all kinds of things can drive overtime, I believe that something that should be undertaken here is the minimum manning that you have defined in the contract, since the contract is up right now, are those numbers the right numbers? And should you have the same amount of minimum manning in the daytime that you do potentially in the evening? Because in all the studies that I've seen, the number of calls at night drops. So I would encourage everybody here to think about creatively here, because we know we have quite the challenge coming up, and you also have an opportunity with the contract coming due, where maybe you can look at a couple of those things and see how you might be able to go. Is the academy issue a contract driven issue? But you have to use your own academy as opposed to sending to somebody else?
We want our people to train. No, it's not. It doesn't say in the contract that they have to be trained here. But that only makes sense to train them here.
Even though you're still going to be down maybe as many as a dozen people with all of the big mass of retirements that are coming?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. Chief, I have a question for you. I'm going to focus mostly on the unused sick time tonight. This is a sick leave pay sheet that Rob Cody had requested from the city. And this describes a month of unused sick pay that's sent out to every firefighter. Is this something you're familiar with, this sheet? Okay. This looks like it's basically a spreadsheet. Is this system maintained on a spreadsheet? It is. Okay. The unused sick time is a $1 million line item in your budget. And I'm just going to very quickly just ask some foundational questions. So we already know the contract says that there's a maximum bank value of 140 days, right? And the 140 means 140 shifts where you can call out sick. When a firefighter joins the force, they start with zero. They accrue 26 days a year, which contractually gets paid out as 1.66 days per month, correct? Firefighters bank unused sick days until they hit 140, at which point the bank by contract cannot go higher. And then there's a second feature in the contract which says that once you've hit your bank, you can then monetize unused sick days over during a year at 75% the value of the sick day. Do I have that correct? Okay. In going through a year's worth of sick leave sheets for fiscal 2017, it's clear that there is a problem with the spreadsheet, because firefighters are monetizing not 75% of unused sick days, they're monetizing 100% of sick days due to the error in calculation. I have some handouts I'd like to give to the City Council. Is that okay?
Yes.
A wise person once told me, if you're going to testify and you need a calculator, you're probably in some trouble. I do have my calculator here tonight, and I'm going to try and do this quickly but thoroughly, because I believe this council needs to understand what's happening here. There is a six-digit error annually in how we do the sick day payouts. So you just want to bear with me for a minute while I explain this. So again, a little bit more information about how this system is working or not working. This unused sick days are being monetized on a monthly basis, a monthly as you go, right? So right away, that's very strange, because there's a 20-day allocation of sick days made annually. To monetize on a non-annual basis can leave you with all kinds of situations where you've paid out the wrong amount over the course of the year. If somebody doesn't use a sick day for 11 months, then they use a whole bunch of them. Well, you've monetized a bunch of sick days that you shouldn't have. So right away, the accounting needs to be done annually. It should not be done monthly, just for that reason alone. But there's a much worse problem here. I'm going to ask you, on the page with the color, I'm going to ask you to look at August of 2016, because this illustrates the math error. In August of 2016, highlighted in yellow, the bank is at 140.05 days, and I know, Mr. President, you had, Mr. President, correct?
Yeah.
You had commented on how the bank goes over 140. I'm about to explain to you how the bank goes over 140. So in this month, 1.66 days were credited to the firefighters' annual sick day bank, and I'm going to qualify that with annual sick day bank. The firefighter took zero sick days and received his compensation payout for 1.25 days. 1.25 is 75% of 1.66, right? So when you monetize a unused sick days on a monthly basis, the payout is 1.25 days. Look what happened to the end bank. It was incremented by 0.41. That 0.41 is the 25% of the sick day that was not monetized. That's how your bank is going over 140, and that's how you end up paying out 100% of an unused sick day, because you're going to see in the line in red, which is October of 2016, the bank has grown to 140.87 days, because you had 2 months in a row where .41 was added where it shouldn't have been. This firefighter was allocated 1.66 new days, took 2 sick days. Okay? So 1.66, 2 minus 1.66 is he should only have 0.34 days left that month. Yet he was paid 0.53. So he was negative for the month, yet he was paid a half a day. And look what happened to his bank. It's dropped down to 140. They monetized over 0.8 of a day in this scheme. That's money that should not have gone out the door. That's money improperly paid. And you can see this happen time and time again. So how they got over 140 is this math error. There's no question about it. Collectively for the year, this error is well into the six digits of money that was not paid per the contract. I would suggest that you suspend the sick day payouts immediately until A, you can work out the accounting, and B, figure out how you get reimbursed for the monies that were improperly paid. Any idea how long this spreadsheet's been used this way? Years? Decades? So, like, 5 years, 10 years? Well, if you imagine this is a 10-year problem, it could be millions of dollars. So, it's a substantial problem, and in a financial pinch, and what I'm hearing right now, I believe that this is an area where you need to look quickly, and most importantly, I think you need to stop the bleeding until you can figure out what's happening. I would also argue that on a $1 million line item, you shouldn't be doing the record keeping in a spreadsheet. I think that's incredibly risky, and there's no controls on it. How many people have access to the spreadsheet? Just the payroll person? So, and there's real no history you can pull back out of it, so it's pretty hard to go back and look at what happened a year ago, correct? Yeah, it's hard to look. You really have a hard time going back in time. You really only have, these are all printed, right? So you probably have a drawer full of these sheets. That's your permanent record. Okay, so you do have an electronic file. Okay, so...
When you ask the question, they have to. It's not broadcast on our website,
our
live feed. So whoever's going to answer, use the mic.
Rick.
Thank you, Councilman.
Rick. Use mic.
Chief, are you aware that nationally, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average number of sick days that workers in Rhode Island, or not in Rhode Island, nationally, they get 10 sick days? That's a federal number. Here, there's 20 sick days. On average, Warwick firefighters take about 7 days, right? Roughly in there, about 7 days. The only way a firefighter can actually get 100% of the value of their unused sick days, ironically, is to use sick days. That's the only way this works. If they don't use the sick days, they can never pull that money out of the bank. So in some ways, this particular mistake could actually be driving the use of sick time. So I believe there's a lack of control here on a $1 million line item. It's maintained in a spreadsheet, which it should never be done. And the calculations are absolutely wrong. That's a whole series of really critical problems that must be dealt with and really should be dealt with, and I don't think you should pay a dime out from now until you get it fixed. And then you also figure out what to do about the money improperly paid out, because if I go to an ATM machine and I pull out $100 but $1,000 comes out, I just can't take that money. If the bank comes for me, I have to give the money back. I'm on the hook to repay that money. These dollars have gone out the door improperly. Potentially millions of dollars have gone out the door improperly. Somebody needs to dive through all of this information, quantify how bad this problem is, and then you need to figure out what you're going to do to fix it. Personally, I would trade the improperly paid dollars for getting rid of this system and this idea of monetizing unused sick time. In the private industry, we can't go and get paid for not getting sick. It just doesn't work that way. It's a protection to make sure if you do get sick, you're covered. But this idea that it's almost an entitlement, I think, is a mistake. And I think it can really drive some bad problems. So maybe that's something you can consider as contract negotiations are coming, to see if you can correct this problem and bring it under some level of control. This is a fairly complex issue that I just buzzed right through. Does anyone have any questions about the basic math problem or about the numbers, whether it's annually or who knows how far back it goes?
Is there any questions? I understand what you're saying, and I think that this is something that needs to be reviewed by a third party. Obviously, you're giving us calculations representing that they're accurate, but I think a third party needs to review this, and I thank you for providing it to us.
No problem. And then again, my background is I am a technologist. I own a computer company. We've worked on some of the biggest computer systems in welfare benefits in the country. I can assure you that $1 million budget maintained in an Excel spreadsheet is a big, big, huge no-no. And that really should be repaired right away, and you need proper controls on that right away. So I know this has taken a long time tonight. I'm not going to take any more of your time, but thank you for hearing me out, and thank you for your service and for keeping us all safe. Thank you.